Hey everyone, nice to see you. Welcome to my kitchen. This is my, I've got 1 week left in the UK, so everything is in boxes, and the scene behind me is basically just for show because it's freaking chaos everywhere. And I have a little nest on the kitchen table where I'm working, and a little nest in my bedroom, and everywhere else is it's just chaos, which is fun. How else would it be? So yeah, I'm really delighted to be doing my last calls with you all. Today's my last sort of day of work, which is kind of fun to be spending it with you. So welcome, folks. If you definitely have something you're bringing today, please let me know in the chat. I thought it might be helpful, and tell me if you're like, nah, don't want to do this. I thought it might be helpful to do a little reflection exercise. It's the end of nearly the end of February. A lot of people I'm talking to are saying that this year is really slow. Right, they're finding it quite tricky to enroll new clients. I'm finding that as well. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I always sort of feel like this is the time then to build, you know, to do the stuff that we never have time for. So I thought we could do a fun reflection exercise, and we did this in self-belief school. I have a group of it's a specific program for business owners. So some are coaches, some are creative business owners, and we did this yesterday in that call, and it was so good in terms of like surfacing stuff. So I thought, oh, I wonder if you guys want to do this with me too. And we will absolutely have time, Jane, for you as well. So thanks for saying you're up for some coaching too. Okay, so the question to play with is, what is your business requiring of you or asking of you right now? What if your business was a person and could talk to you and say, hey, this is what I'm needing from our relationship, what would it be asking for from you? This could be something about what you could be doing. Like it could be something like, you know, get your onboarding process for new clients set up. Or it could be more visible, right? And more about what you could be doing. So just take a minute or two and write a list of anything that bubbles up. What is your business asking of you right now? For folks watching the replay, just go ahead. I'll be sitting here. The thing that I think is so interesting about this is you automatically slightly separate yourself from your business to do this. It's like your business has its own energy, it's its own entity. You get to play with that idea as well. So everyone who's here live on the call is busy beavering away. There's a big list forming. Once you've got sort of maybe five things, if you can think of five things, that's perfect. What I'd love you to do is if one is totally doable, I know what to do and I can crack on with this, it's easy. And five is I've no idea what to do here. This feels really risky or it's totally out of my comfort zone. Just rank every or rate each of the items on your list. So hopefully you've got a list of a few items, things that your business is requiring of you right now, wanting from you right now, and you've been able to rank each of those items from 1 to 5. 1 being pretty doable, know what to do, and 5 being, it feels a bit risky, not quite sure what to do. So just choose 1 or 2 things on that list. And be super honest with yourself. Why haven't you done those things yet? It may be time, right? You may be like, oh, I need a day, right, to focus on this. It may be experience. I've never done this before. No idea what to do. It may be a really useful insight into how self-doubt showing up. If I do this, it'll be wrong. I don't know if I can handle the potential rejection. I've watched 86 other coaches do the same thing and they've all done it better than me. All of that stuff. Anyone want to share what's coming up? Are you discovering about what's on your to-do list?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, Kate, good to see you.
Hi. Well, I've had yet another business pivot. Third year running. But it feels like I'm sort of actually now working towards my skills, and you just connected with me, I think, yesterday on LinkedIn. So you literally just saw my profile that I updated 2 days ago. So yeah, I spent last year trusting someone else's process for marketing my coaching business, got really clear on an ICA, and it didn't work. And it
What's an
worked.
ICA? Sorry.
Ideal client avatar. So,
Oh, okay. Right.
and it was really narrow, focused person. This process is working for other people. It worked to this extent that I did have people contacting me and I had 6 sales calls in the year, but nobody turned into a client. And I basically put all my faith in this system. A bit all or nothing. I understand where I fits perfectly with my self-doubt, how my self-doubt shows up. So my thing this year is to get information from other people, but ultimately sit there, sit with it and go, how does this feel? And allow myself to trust myself.
Nice.
And that's kind of a 4 because it's always easier to outsource things to other people, especially if they're meant to be the experts who have a system that works.
It's seductive, isn't it?
It is. And this person was not offering anything really ridiculous, honestly. They were like, it's going to take a long time. It's not a quick process, but it works. But for me, it didn't. And part of it was because I think I picked the wrong ideal client. I sort of jumped onto somebody who was in corporate because I thought they had the money.
Well, and so what is your business asking for from you right now? What did you put on your list?
I put on my list, collect ideas from others, but ultimately trust yourself. Be visible. Treat prospecting lightly. I have a new theory for how to do this, but I'm going to be treating it lightly. Find an insurance policy because my work has shifted. I can't use my current insurance. And yeah, I've done a few experiments trying to find it, and I've got wildly different quotes, but I have done some research with a friend of mine who's an insurance person. So yeah.
And so, which of those things on your list is your self-doubt showing up in?
Collect ideas from others, but ultimately trust yourself, which is,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah. So, why does that feel risky to you?
Well, financially, it feels risky because I have savings that are going to last me through to June and then they're gone. And I have one client with a small piece of work who's, I'm now doing online business management. I became certified last year. So I've got one client who's really a VA client, trying to get her in to be an OBM client, but she's not really there yet because she hasn't got a team. So I have income from that. I have income from a rental property I have, but ultimately I don't have enough money coming in regularly to really
So
cover all.
what's the connection you're making between trusting yourself and your savings running out? Because that's an interesting leap to make.
Yeah. Can I trust myself to really do this? Yeah, ultimately.
And what's your self-doubt saying?
Well, you've got plenty of evidence in the past that you haven't made it work. Why do you think it's going to be different now? And then my healthy adult self says, Kate, this is your 21st year in business and you've not gone broke yet. You've had a lot of ups and downs, but you have always paid your bills.
And it strikes me that you've outsourced your discernment to someone else's system, and that didn't work. Right, so
No.
you've tried the alternative. So it's like all things being equal, you're more likely to be successful, more likely to build a sustainable business when you're trusting yourself.
I think that's fair because that's what's worked over the years. I mean, if I think about it, that has worked. It's like when I've had moments of like real clarity and like, yeah, this is the way to go. Yes, I'm going to follow this. And it, yeah. Opportunities popped up.
So just notice the difference between those two beliefs. When I trusted myself in the past, opportunities have popped up versus whatever your self-doubt saying about past evidence. It's not actually that helpful or true.
And it's so disempowering. Why would I outsource? Why would I outsource my business effectively to somebody else? I would never advise anyone else to do that.
Well, and the other part of this, I think, is it's like a false sense of security. Someone else can tell me what to do, right? That's always, I think, underneath our self-doubt around running a business, running a coaching practice, running a aligned business that is connected to coaching. There is always, can someone just tell me how to do this?
It's too hard. Someone needs to tell me how to do it.
And so what you're finding is actually, well, I've tried that and that did not work for me. So part of this process is to find the supportive, more helpful ways of approaching the tasks that feel risky. Right? So it's like, because we can always choose. It's like the reason these things are on our to-do lists, it's no accident. Right, and we get to choose. Well, how am I going to approach this? Who's in charge? Who's running my business bus? Who's driving it? So yeah, you've got a great opportunity to experiment with sitting in your own discernment, okay, and just playing with that. How do I know what to do next? You know, really tuning into what your inner yes feels like, you know, and noticing, oh, here I am getting distracted and seduced by someone else's process. What's that giving me? What am I doing that for? Versus, okay, how much courage have I got today? What can I do?
Yeah.
Great example.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to share what came up? Yeah, come on. Go ahead, Jay. You're muted.
Yeah. So, interesting. I didn't go to tasks too, because I'm, as you know, I'm such an executive functioner. Normally, it'd be like a whole action plan that isn't written down. Or I didn't go to tasks. My business just said to me, Jane, I need you to calm down and focus. I need you to believe in yourself as a leader. I want to feel safe and held by you. And it really doesn't matter if you take me down the wrong, some dead ends. Let's just walk together. And like you, Kate, what came out, I think, was trust yourself. And the interesting actions, when you said, what are the kind of tasks, if you like, because they were, take some time to just land every morning and focus and be intentional. Maybe play some music, maybe do some yoga. It's nothing to do with my task list. It was just land every day and trust yourself. But what was really interesting to me about that was when you said, I think you said, I can't remember what your third question was, something about,
why aren't you doing it?
Why aren't you doing it? And
yeah.
I wrote, fear, in case it might be too much, I won't be able to hold it all.
Right.
And I'm just trying to work out what that is. I won't be able to hold it all.
Yeah.
Because if it's a fear of being too busy, I'm already making myself too busy by passive action and procrastination like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else might that mean? I won't be able to hold it all.
I don't know, but what comes up is an image of still, I think I've got so much better at visibility, but what's coming up still is an image of hiding in the background with all that procrastination and that phrase, you know, I need you to believe in yourself as a leader, which is quite visible, isn't it?
Can be.
Can be, doesn't, maybe doesn't have to be. I won't be able to hold it all. I don't know. Success, if it works out?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't really understand that.
Yeah. One thing that strikes me is I'm hearing you describe that, like, I need you to believe in yourself as a leader. For me, that takes me immediately to sovereignty, you know, that sovereign energy, which is very much about envisioning, imagining yourself landing in the morning and doing a bit of yoga, getting really intentional. Intention is a huge way to bring self-belief into your everyday. It's like the daily practice of self-belief is intention. I'm envisioning what matters to me, that's connected to my values, it's connected to who I am. And then, you know, I'm setting myself some intention, and then I need, you know, some self-trust to kind of, you know, choose what I need to do, and some self-worth, you know, that's very action-oriented, to take the steps, you know, and the self-acceptance to be with whatever the fuck happens, you know, because we can't control all of that. So it strikes me that just that nudge from your intuition, I just need you to believe in yourself as a leader, is very connected to that intentional vision of landing in the mornings and, you know, setting out what's on the list for today.
Yeah, I get that. And the other kind of image that I've been carrying with me for the last couple of weeks is that idea of strong back and soft front, which I just find it really helpful to think about that, because it makes me feel very present and quite rooted and strong, but very still very soft and not strong in a, yeah, we can do this, but just very present. I just feel a bit alarmed by that phrase, I won't be able to hold it all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it strikes me that you're, as you said, you're very good at getting shit done. Like your executive function is pretty good at knowing what to do and, you know, getting on with it when you're in that place of being quite, you know, in your healthy adult self, if you like. Particularly when it comes to clients. I see that in you, that there is this, you know, almost over functioning part of you, right? The growth edge for you, it strikes me, and for those of us who are over functioners, is the stillness, is the pausing. And in the stillness and the pausing, there's always the feelings, which is usually why we go, yeah, not today, right? So in the stillness, in the intention, other things might come up. That holding it all is could be quite nuanced for you.
So it might be a helpful invitation just to experiment with what it feels like to hold what I've got.
Yeah.
And not, maybe it's a almost a kind of don't overreach, just stay present with intent.
Be with where you are.
Yeah. Mm.
There's some real clarity with how your business, the sort of spirit of your business or the energy of your business was talking to you. That struck me as quite helpful, actually. I try to do this on a Friday, like, okay, what is my business requiring of me next week, so that when I land on a Monday morning, I'm already, you know, usually noodled over it over the weekend. Okay, this is the priority this week. What's the one or two things I really need to do this week? And that voice of my business is much clearer now than it used to be. In the past, I just was so conflated with it. I couldn't separate myself from it. But getting into that place where you can sort of stand back and go, okay, what do you need? What's required? It's a great practice to get into. And you may get more clarity.
It's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah, you're super welcome. Nice. Cass, do you want to share anything?
That was very interesting from both Kate and Jane. I think my list was just a reflection of where my head is at today, I think. Interesting, I had some to-dos and some feelings, I suppose, or more emotional-driven things. There's the being more visible. But with that, like, stop thinking about posting and actually post. but I suppose the other ones were, like, some structure to my day, treat my business like a business, stop hiding, and yeah, generally get your shit together. It's kind of what it felt like it was trying to say to me.
Right.
And then interesting when you said to like rate them, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, they're all like kind of twos or threes. And then you went, well, what's stopping? And I was like, oh, hang on a minute. But I've said that nothing feels risky, but there must be something that feels risky if I'm not doing it. So that was kind of, I was like, oh, okay.
Where did you get to with that? What do you think is holding you back?
I think that, yeah, there is that bit of self-doubt in terms of, am I good enough? I think there's a part of, do I trust myself to show up every day and to keep a routine? I've tried many different ways of writing, this is what my ideal morning will be, and I'll get to my desk at this time, and it just never really seems to land or stick fully. Yeah. I've just written intention in big letters. I think because there isn't an intention. I think that you were saying that to Jane, I wrote that down in big letters and circled it. I think when Jane was talking about landing in the morning, I was like, yeah, actually that sounds like a really present activity to do, of I land and I'm here, and you know, what now, what's next for the day? Whereas I think I generally kind of move from one thing to the next with a bit more sort of fluidity, because there's no time pressure on me. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go and put some washing on, or okay, now I'll sit down, and now I'll go and do this, and
yeah.
So I think that structure just keeps coming up for me, I think. So yeah, trust to show, that self-trust in showing up.
Yeah.
I suppose from that self-doubt space, I suppose there is that, am I good enough? And I think I feel like there's a bit of a pressure, because I've staked my claim on women on hospitality, and I used to be a woman in hospitality. I think maybe there's some underneath like pressure for me to be great for them, or something, or really be able to help everybody. And I think that's also just my personality of wanting to be of service and things, which comes up, I've noticed, is a bit of a thread.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of what came up for me.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Like all of the things that your business said to you were about some structure. How do you feel about structure? What's your relationship?
I feel like I'm
structure?
Missing it, but then I don't bring it in. Like I've been.
Right.
It comes up quite a lot, like in peer coaching and, you know, those things where I've got that space that I can bring it. Generally, like a structure or a routine or something.
Yeah.
Even in my pod calls with, you know, with the girls from doing the SBACA, it came up there. And, like, I don't, I feel like I just, and I think because I always had so much structure in hospitality, I didn't, I suppose, because it's just busy, and it's just, You're go from the moment you step through the restaurant door. But I had a start and an end time. Well, the end time was pretty loose, but I had a start time.
Yeah.
So I suppose, I'm not very good at giving myself structure.
Right. Yeah. So you're learning how to set up a structure.
Yeah.
Because it strikes me like this thing of, oh, mate, I'm not good enough or whatever. I mean, how do you get good at anything?
Well, you have to do it.
Practice.
I know that. And my brain tells me that, like, there's no point worrying about whether or not you can bring in the SBCA tools into a coaching unless you're actually coaching and you're actually doing it, and your trial and error and all the rest of it. You know, like, same with opening a restaurant. I could tell them what to do, but until we had live people and we were open, we had no idea if it was going to work or not. So that's the thing.
Your business wants you to have some structure, and you also recognize that part of that has got to include some clients.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why I come to calls like this, because then I can put, that's a bit of mini structure in my week.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 12, 13 years into this, I think a lot of business is actually really freaking tedious, right? A lot of this is not the Marie Forleo coffee dates and during the day and blah, 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 you know, all of that. Like, it's really, it's just not. Like, there's a whole load of bullshit that we're all sold. Routine, I find that incredibly helpful for some structures. You know, I like to have block out time in my calendar. This is what I'm doing on this day. I have weekly tasks. You know, I need to write my newsletter on a Monday, so it's got time to percolate and edit and hopefully be sent out without typos. All of those things only happen because I've got a tedious routine and sometimes I don't feel like it. And I think it was about 3 or 4 years into this when I realized that some of this is just like an office job. It's not like rainbows and unicorns every day. And I was like, oh, but I know how to do that. Right. In the same way, you know how to respond, right? And in a restaurant where it's constantly busy, you know how to respond. So this is a bit of a growth edge, right? When you get to set your times and you get to be, you know, kind of advocating for your own, you know, energy levels and when you like to do things. So what I found is embracing the tedium can sometimes be really supportive, like just let it be a bit dull. Yep, got to write my newsletter on, and I set that as a Monday task. I don't have any calls on a Monday. It's all admin day. And I try to get some ideas for social media posts, and I try to, you know, draft up some ideas for my newsletter because I don't send it out to a Friday. So that gives me a bit of space to play. So all to say, like, it's this flex within a structure, right? When you've got a structure, on this day I do this, on this day I do this. Even if that's the only thing you do that day, and maybe you half-ass it, but then when you are logging off, you're like, okay, well, that got done. Yeah. And sometimes letting it be a bit unsatisfactory and, you know, literally tedious. And I think that's honestly how I've been able to just keep consistently showing up. As I book in time to make sure I'm doing that and do it even when I don't feel like it. I don't know if that helps you, Cassie, just in terms of like structure doesn't have to be magical. Like it can just be like, on this day I do this, you know?
Yeah. I think I just give myself too much like freedom leeway.
Yeah.
Even this morning, I know that, like we all know, exercise makes us feel better. If I do exercise in the morning, I'm more likely to then get to my desk. And this morning I was like having this conversation, should I do it now? Should I do it later? Am I hungry? Am I not hungry? Am I too hungry to do this? And then the whole morning goes out the window.
So you and I are very alike in that way, because as soon as someone puts a rule on me, I'm like, well, how am I going to get around that? I'm going to need to rebel against that, because that... You can't, no one tells me what to do, right? Even me. So what I found is and the reason I block time out in my calendar, like I live by my Google Calendar, is because then I'm making decisions ahead of time. So it's not a debate. Monday morning newsletter draft. That's what I do on a Monday morning. It's like, I'm not going to have that debate with myself because I know how that ends. That ends with me faffing around, doing the laundry, daydreaming, scrolling, all of that shite, right? Which, you know, and I've still got to write my newsletter. It's just now I'm putting added pressure on myself.
Yeah.
So there's something about, like, I think the healthy adult self is boundaried and has good boundaries with ourselves first, right? So it's like, yep, I hear the want to rebel. This is me talking to me. I hear that you don't fancy it. I get it. So what? Do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the parent who's like, no, you really can't have ice cream for breakfast 3 days in a row, maybe one, right? But you really can't. We're not going to be doing that, because that is the kindest thing I can do for you. Yeah. So there's something about just, you know, and yes, that is discipline, and yes, it is taking responsibility, but I hate those words because they make me want to rebel, right? So what I kind of, it's like, oh, this is the kindest thing I can do for myself. Put some structure in. Do the things I don't want to do sometimes. So you could play with that, right?
Yeah, I think I will, because I think I go for all that, as you often say, all or nothing.
Yeah.
So then I try and put like too much in, and like, now I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do it, and then it then I'm like, whoa, no, this is too much. So I think, yeah, maybe just even just trying to talk back to myself with some kindness and parent myself a little.
It really is self-parenting, and it works, you know, when it's done with compassion and not with the voice of most of our actual parents. It's quite good.
a bit of scheduling for next week, and then I can experiment with that.
Amazing. Thanks. And it's just practice. You're just, it doesn't have to be right. It's just, oh, okay, if I have to do 5 things in a week, right, what, let me schedule those out over each day, and then that is my schedule for that week, and see how it feels, and then you can decide if you want to do it for the following week.
Yeah, thanks. We'll give that a go.
Nice. Jane, were you going to add something in there?
Yeah, I was just struck by what you said about, it's just like, the tedium is just like an office job sometimes. And I thought, without the accountability and support, and you have to turn up if you have a job, you have no choice. You have to turn up. You can't just turn up and faff a whole day because people would like realize eventually. But also I've been realizing one thing I really miss, I think, is that sort of Monday morning you arrive at the office and there are other people there to go, oh, back to work, or how was your weekend? Or, oh, we better get on. All right, then. Yeah. And I think that's when I can go into procrastination, because I don't know what it is, whether it's mirror neurons or feeling part of a team or a communal effort, or sometimes I just miss those teeny tiny interactions.
That has been like the biggest challenge personally for me over the years. When we started experimenting in self-belief school with co-working, I was like, oh my God, this is a total game changer for me. So I don't know, there's something about finding spots where you can co-work. Just having a body double is so, so helpful for those of us who procrastinate. So can you find a way to do that? And I think this is one thing I use social media for is, if I need to, I'll check in with Instagram and just say, hey, amorphous people out there, this is what I'm doing today. And kind of almost like do that, imagine that everyone else is doing the same thing and create a sort of fictional office environment in my head so that I crack on. But it's like, oh, this is great. I know about myself that I really like the sense of being part of something. So how can I recreate that office environment? Yeah, and Cassie, that's so great. Your friend and you are doing that, setting that up for the week, setting yourself up for the week. Really cool.
It is good to even just share and hear you say, I struggle with the tedium and the discipline, and it's kind of good to know that it is hard and that if we find it hard, we're not getting it wrong.
No, not at all. I mean, even like last night I had a call with my New Zealand accountant and it was at 8 o'clock because of the time difference. And I was knackered and didn't really want to have the conversation, but I was like, but I really need to have it. Like, this has to happen. So I, tried to make it as pleasant as possible and had my little hot cross bun afterwards as a reward and all of that stuff. I just play games with myself, how can I convince myself to do this, even if I don't want to do it? Because I know afterwards, I'm going to be so glad I did. And I think really getting it sort of straight in my own mind, this will never change. There are always going to be parts of this work that I find tedious. There isn't a place you get to where that isn't the case, no matter what the internet tells us, I don't want to only work, 2 hours a week. This is the work I want to do. So I'm not trying to kind of get to a place where I'm not doing anything. That isn't my goal here. It's like, but how can I do this in a way that feels really satisfying. And sometimes the satisfaction is this much, you know. Yeah. Really cool. So that is a process I use most Fridays to just kind of set myself up for the following week. Please feel free to use that if it helps you. And you know, if you are finding, oh, there's a pattern here with why I'm not doing the thing I know I need to do, then that's a thing to get coached on. Yeah. Cool. Jane, you said you were bringing something. Yeah, please go ahead.
I mean, it's not a massive thing, but I have just noticed recently I'm working with a couple of clients who both just talk so much and go off into telling me the whole story of something. And I'm finding it really difficult to find to.
Do you interrupt them? See what I did there?
Yeah, I know. I know. That's what I feel really conflicted about. Yeah. And I'm noticing my frustration. You know, there was one time where I just wanted to go, ah, I don't need to know your backstory of the last, you know, I don't need to know any of this. Yeah. I just want. So I don't, I try not to interrupt too much.
Yeah.
I try and just. Like the more they speed up or the more they go into story, the more I try and just like sink and slow and be present and hope that that will, that they'll kind of.
Does that work?
Some may. But there was one particular moment last week where someone who was sort of racing along and then she said something. What did she say? She said, I find it now. What was the word? I can't find it. But she was sort of racing along and then she said something like, oh, and that felt really safe or. And I could feel that she was feeling something for the first time when she said that. And. But before I had a chance to kind of go, let's stay with that, she was off on the next one. And I think I did try and bring her back, but she just wouldn't stay there. If I tried to bring her back, she would just go, yes, and. It's how do you get people to stay with what's important?
Yeah. In my experience, when someone is over-talking like that, giving all that context, they're in their survivor self. It's a survivor strategy. It's a distraction. And I think you're bang on, like it's usually a distraction from stillness, which equals I'm going to feel something. So we've got some approaches to that, right? Which is we want to bring them back to their healthy self. And the first way to do that is to make them aware of what's going on. So when I've had clients who do this, and it is a real over-functioning strategy, it's like if I just keep on moving, I never have to stop and feel anything or explore or reflect. And that's the purpose of coaching, right? Reflect. It's a little container where we get to reflect on our lives and figure out how we do feel about it so we can make sense of it, so we can decide if we want to do things differently. My favorite approach to this is to start the next session with, okay, before we get going today, here's what I'm noticing. I notice that you talk a lot. Do you notice that? Why do you think you do that? Do you do that just do that here, or do you do that in every part of your life? What's that about for you? And I don't want you to talk about it. I want you to think about it. Just feel it. Might feel uncomfortable. Tell me what comes up. And it's like, I'm just going to encourage you to slow down and reflect. But I'm naming the dynamic that is in this coaching container. Where do you go when I make that suggestion?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you said, I'm noticing that you talk a lot, I kind of went, oh, that feels a bit risky to say that. I'm worried that they'll feel offended, that it will sound like a judgment or a criticism.
It might. And so you find the words that feel okay for you to offer that. It's like, can I offer you an observation about what I'm noticing in our coaching conversations? You're asking for that kind of consent. It's like, this is not a judgment, it's an observation. I notice you talk a lot. What do you think that's about? You know, do you agree? And what do you think it's about? And the reason to raise it, right, is because every time she's talking, she isn't able to reflect. And that's the purpose of this whole thing, right? And if you both agree, yeah, that's happening, and oh, it does feel a bit shit, actually, to feel things, and that isn't comfortable. It's like, okay, how are we going to navigate that? You know, can we have a safe word? Right? How do we get around this tendency to want to over explain?
Yeah, so it's back to making it safe, isn't it?
And often, you know, folks over explain because they don't feel heard. So there may be places in her life where she hasn't felt heard.
And that's why I think I'm reluctant to interrupt sometimes.
Yeah. And I would share that too, right? So when I hear you do that, for me as your coach, I don't want to interrupt you, because I want you to have a safe space to reflect. But I'm not sure that that's actually what's happening. What seems to be happening is you're giving me a lot of context, and we probably don't need all of that.
So even in the example I gave of when she touched on something and it really did, and I did bring her back, but maybe I could have been more overt about saying, let's just sit with that for a while rather than rush on. Let's take some time with it. And if I'd said that in a more overt way rather than just almost mirroring, reflecting, and then she rushed back, yes, yes, and then rush on, I could have framed it in a more overt way.
And it's like, sometimes we have to say, hey, can I stop you there? Can I stop you there? Like, really kind of, can I stop you there? Right, get their attention, because they'll be off somewhere else. And it's like, oh, okay, yep. And then tell me where you are. Like, tell me what you're feeling. Just notice the sensations, right? You can do that. But sometimes that we're always acting in the best interest of a client. A client who is giving you all the context and talks for 52 minutes of your session is not getting the best out of the coaching relationship. So it is a huge kindness to say, can I stop you there? And if there is a story in your mind, this is judgment, that makes total sense why you would sit back. Whereas when you change it to, oh, this is a kindness, it becomes a bit easier to do.
It's really helpful, thank you.
I once had a client who did talk for 52 minutes in our first session, like just didn't stop, and I felt like a deer in headlights. And she was quite a, you know, force of nature kind of person, and I just had no idea how to interrupt her. And at the end, she sort of like just ran out of steam, and I said, did you know that you've talked for 52 minutes? And she was like, oh, have I? Gosh. And she was quite surprised by that. And I said, why do you think you did that? And she was really upset. She was like, oh, just, I don't, no one listens to me. I don't have a space to do this. I wanted to get it all out. All of the stuff came out, you know. I was like, great. I just want you to know you never have to over-explain yourself to me. Next session was different.
One of them, I think, is doing it because they're in such a desperate rush to get the answers.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not going to get the answers if they just have this.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so that could be a really, that could be a gift. You know, here's what I'm observing. That you're in a rush to get the answers. In my experience, the answers actually come when we slow down a bit. I really want to walk with you. But if we're both running, we're just out of breath, you know? So let's walk a bit slower together. So I think, you know, it feels like a judgment when it's like, do you know you do this? You know, and it's a kind of like, there's no context to it. But when it's, hey, I'm observing this and I, you know, I want you to get the most out of this. And that means we're going to need to slow down and reflect. And you might have some feelings about that. It's okay. It's what this place is for.
Thank you.
This happens all the time. Yeah. Especially with clients who are a bit maybe new to sharing their inner world. There's always that sort of like, oh, if I tell you who I really am, I've got no idea what you're going to make of me, you know? So all of that reassurance, you almost can't do that enough, you know? And if it helps, a phrase I like to use with people who talk a lot is, can you bottom line that for me? Can you give me that in one sentence or one or two sentences? And that's partly because the context doesn't matter as much as the meaning you're making out of it. And when we can model that with our clients and kind of give the coaching container the space where they get to play with that, like, okay, so, you know, boss said this to me. Here's what I made it mean. And then that's the bulk of the experience that we talk through. It means that when the relationship, the coaching relationship ends, they're walking away with a tool set of, oh, this happened, but what happened isn't as important as what I made it mean. And I actually have some tools to be able to play with changing how I make what I make it mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful, particularly with the person who's in such a hurry and thinks she's tried everything.
Yeah.
Because she keeps going back to, but I've tried everything and I'm still stuck. I've tried everything and I'm still stuck. So
yeah.
That would be a good frame, a good question for that, you know, and yeah. What do you make that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if she's convinced she's tried everything, then that's a stalemate, right? It's almost like, where is there to go then? So, yeah, what do you make it mean? When you say you've tried everything, what does trying look like? Does it mean you tried it once? Mm-hmm. And did you try it with the belief this won't work either? Because that might have influenced the outcome, you know? Yeah. So getting, you know, this is why I think sometimes going through that process of what happened, like just give me the one line context and then what was the belief? What's the feeling? What's the action? You go through the belief buster process. Mm-hmm. You have to slow, you know, the client by going through that has to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
We're just looking at these component parts of any experience.
You know, well, I did actually try that.
Mm.
I couldn't slow down and name the belief. They just told me more stories.
Yeah.
It kept going round, and every time there was a, well, this happened then or this happened then.
Yeah.
And just a real, like a force field around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just know that is their survivor self going, if I dwell in this painful experience, I will not be able to be with it. So it's great information for you to have. Okay, if we're going to do the belief buster, I'm going to need to lead that as the coach, and I'm going to need to say things like, right, this isn't about the story. This is about your experience. I really want you to slow down and be with this. This is not a chat, right? This is me leading you through a process to help you see how you are making sense of it. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, and I just want you to reflect and then share what comes up. There probably won't be a lot of information that comes up. Might even be just one word, right? You're almost like setting the context so that they get to feel like, oh, okay, I don't have to, you know, it's like you don't have to do a whole lot of work here, right? It's more about reflection.
I think that's helpful as well. I just want you to reflect and then share. As I tried a visualization with this client, and immediately we she was really comfortable, really up for it, and immediately she closed her eyes, and immediately I started leading her. She just talked. She started saying, "Oh well, this is happening, and this is," and I had to sort of stop her and say, "No, you just be with it, and we can talk after." But okay.
And the other thing to not rule out here is there may be some neurodiversity stuff going on too. Right, someone who has a super busy mind and cannot slow down, that may be something worth exploring with them. You know, it's not a diagnosis, it's more of a this is interesting. You know, what do you make of why you do this? Yeah. Is this in every context in your life? You know, and then you can maybe say, you know, what if, you know, have you ever considered what else might be going on? Maybe it's about the way you make sense of the world. And that can, you know, that can sometimes be a kindness as well. We can work out why this might be happening, you know. Yeah. Does that sort of give you a few strings to pull on, Jane?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah. Oh, well, that's our hour. Structure over. You can go play now. thanks so much for joining me this morning. It was really fun. We will be we'll change the times for next month. And I'll confirm those with a note that goes out with the recordings. So yeah, but they're all in the graduate calendar. So you can check those out. But yeah, I will see you from the other side of the world next month.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Safe travels.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, loves. Take care. Bye. I'll see you soon. Okay. Bye.